Welcome to Men Alive, a biblical journey to help us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm your teacher, Dr. Jim Cunningham, author of the book Men Alive. Normally, I am the teacher, but today, our host, my longtime friend, Paul Esterbrooks, is switching roles. Paul, what are you going to share?
Jim, it's Easter time, so I'd like us to go visit the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. It is empty because Jesus rose from the dead and is alive. In the last program, we considered the events of Holy Week concluding with Jesus' death at 3 p.m. on Good Friday afternoon. The next day was a Sabbath day, and so before the sunset, two notable leaders of the Jewish people, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, helped take down Jesus' body from the cross. They got permission to bury Jesus' body with many pounds of myrrh and aloes, that's anointing spices, in Joseph's new family tomb in a garden nearby. The leaders who wanted Jesus dead went to Pilate and got permission to seal the tomb and post some soldiers to guard it, as they feared the disciples would steal the body. Meanwhile, the disciples of Jesus were actually hiding together in a secret place because they were terrified. Maybe they would be the next ones crucified. Everyone celebrated the quiet Sabbath the next day, so it was very early on Sunday morning that Jesus' mother, with several other women who loved and followed Jesus, made their way to the tomb to further embalm the body. As they walked, they discussed the challenge they would have to roll away the very heavy stone that covered the tomb entrance. But when they arrived, they were surprised and shocked that the stone had already been rolled away from the tomb's entrance. Then shocked even more when inside the tomb they saw an angel who said, "Don't be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen from the dead. See over there where they laid his body? Now go tell his disciples that Jesus wants to meet with them in Galilee." The fearful disciples were later empowered by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and they suddenly became very bold and outgoing. They were now willing to die for Jesus because they knew for certain that he was alive. Jim, this is the reason you and I follow Jesus, because we believe he is alive and living within us through his Holy Spirit. And there are 15 very good reasons to believe in Jesus' resurrection. First of all, there was an empty tomb. The founders of other faiths are buried in tombs or have their ashes sprinkled over foreign lands, not Jesus. Modern scholars can claim what they want, but the truth is, the tomb was empty. Secondly, the tomb had a Roman seal. Clay was affixed to a rope stretched across a rock and to the tomb itself. The Roman seal was pressed into the clay. Break the seal, you break the law. Break the law, you die. Thirdly, the tomb had a Roman guard stationed there. The guard was at least four men, possibly more, of highly trained Roman soldiers. These soldiers were experts in torture and in combat, not easily frightened off by a band of fishermen and tax collectors. Had they fallen asleep or left their post, they would have violated the law, resulting in their own execution. Four, the tomb had a heavy stone in front of it. Most scholars put the weight of the stone at about 2 tons, that's 4,000 pounds, probably at least 7 or 8 feet high. This was definitely a team lift or a team roll, not movable by just one or two men. 5. There were post-resurrection appearances of Jesus to hundreds of witnesses. Over a span of 6 weeks, Jesus appeared to a variety of groups of various sizes in different locations. He appeared to over 500 at one point, a huge number to be an outright fabrication. Not to mention the people to whom he appeared didn't just see him, but ate with him, walked with him, touched him. Jesus even made breakfast at one point. 6. The martyrdom of the witnesses. Would people leave their businesses, careers, homes, and families, go to the ends of the earth, die horribly gruesome and painful deaths, and forsake their previous religious beliefs about salvation, all to protect a lie? Not one of the disciples, while being beheaded, fed to lions, boiled in oil, crucified upside down, or burned alive, changed their story. Instead, they sang hymns of trust and praise, knowing that the Lord who defeated death would raise them up too. 7. There is still a church. If the resurrection was a lie, it would have died off centuries ago. The Christian church is the largest institution of any kind in the history of humanity. This church began with the apostles following Pentecost, the year Jesus arose. It has conquered empires, withstood attacks inside and out, and grown in spite of the sinfulness of its members because it was founded by Jesus Christ. It is guided and protected by the Holy Spirit. The church, like Christ, is both human and divine. Number 8. Jesus prophesied that it was going to happen. Jesus told his disciples that it was going to happen, and it didn't take him by surprise. He didn't just say, "I'm going to be killed," which others might have seen coming, but also that, "I'm going to rise on the third day." Those details aren't ironic, coincidental, or fortune-telling. They're called prophecy, and true prophecy comes from God himself. Number 9. It was also prophesied in the Old Testament. It was foretold centuries before Christ himself was born or lived it out. Hundreds of prophecies about the Messiah, what he would say, do, live like, or how he would die, were offered centuries apart by people God selected, most of whom had never met one another, by the way. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Hosea, and Micah, just to name a few, all pointed to Christ's death and resurrection hundreds of years before it occurred.
You are listening to Men Alive with Dr. Jim Cunningham and Paul Esterbrooks. You can receive a free PDF by sending me, Dr. Jim, an email at menaliveundergod@gmail.com. That's menaliveundergod@gmail.com.
The free PDF Dr. Jim is offering today is titled, Embrace the Cross. Be sure to request it. The 10th reason to believe in the resurrection is that the day of worship changed. Following the resurrection, tens of thousands of Jewish people, almost overnight, abandoned the centuries-old tradition of celebrating the Sabbath on the last day of the week and began worshiping on the first day of the week, the day on which the Lord, the Christ, conquered death, sealing the new and final covenant with God. 11. The practices of sacrifice changed. Jewish people were always taught, and taught their children, see Deuteronomy chapter 6, that they needed to offer an animal sacrifice at least once a year to atone for their sins. After the resurrection, the Jewish converts of the time, throngs of them, stopped offering animal sacrifices to God, believing that the risen Christ was the final sacrificial lamb. Number 12. It is unique among other world religions. No other religious leader of any consequence ever actually claimed to be God except Jesus. No other religious leader ever did the things Jesus Christ did. No other religious leader ever backed up their religious voice with resurrection. Confucius died, Lao Tzu died, Buddha died, Muhammad died, Joseph Smith died. Christ arose from the dead. 13. The message is self-authenticating. A humble heart is enlightened and illuminated by far more than logic or reason. A true believer doesn't need all the facts to believe in the resurrection because the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us intimately and powerfully. St. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 4. Blind and hardened hearts will never see God until they acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. 14. The miraculous ending fits a miraculous life. Jesus Christ healed the blind, the deaf, and the dumb. He fed the masses, cured the lepers, and forgave the sinners. He made the lame walk and brought others back to life. He multiplied food, walked on water, calmed storms with his mere voice. The miracle of Good Friday is that he didn't call for a miracle. He died. The miracle of Easter Sunday is that he rose from the dead, a miraculous end to a miraculous life. And 15. Jesus is still alive and present in millions of people today. The world cannot offer any cure for suffering. The world can ignore it, berate it, debate it, bomb it, and medicate it, but there is no cure or point to suffering separated from Jesus Christ. In Christ, our suffering has a point, and it has worth. Apart from Christ, suffering is pointless and fruitless. There is no fountain of youth. There is no miracle drug. There is no cure for death except Jesus Christ. In the final chapter of the Gospel of Luke, there appears a beautiful story about two men distraught over the death of Jesus on Easter Sunday who find themselves in deep conversation with the teacher himself. Only they don't realize it's him. This lack of recognition is not necessarily their fault. Scripture tells us they were, quote, kept from recognizing him. When Jesus asks what they are discussing, the men explain their version of the past day's events, as well as their disappointment over their hopes, which are seemingly unfulfilled, and confusion about what the women had seen at the tomb that morning. Jesus expresses gentle rebuke, telling the men, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Then Jesus proceeds to explain the Old Testament stories from Moses to the prophets and how they all fully and completely point to the Christ. The men still do not recognize they are speaking with Jesus, but they eagerly welcome this conversation. When they get to Emmaus, they invite this mystery companion to stay with them instead of continuing on his journey, and Jesus agrees. Jesus does not reveal himself to the men while they're on the road. Instead, he waits until they've arrived at their destination and are relaxed, preparing to enjoy a meal before he allows the men's eyes to be opened. At the table, when Jesus gives thanks and breaks the bread with them, they recognize him immediately, and then Jesus disappears. The men do not seem extraordinarily surprised when they finally realize it had been Jesus that whole time. As they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They rush back to Jerusalem that very evening, finding the 11 apostles and telling them what happened, that these seemingly unimportant men had a personal encounter with Jesus signifies the universality of the resurrection message. That is, the message of Jesus is for all people. Brothers, because of what happened in that upper room, on that cross, and in that tomb 2,000 years ago, we know God the Father intimately. We walk with Christ daily, and we are guided by the Holy Spirit eternally. That's the truth, and what a beautiful truth it is. During this Easter season, set aside time to reflect on what Jesus' resurrection means for you. Request our free PDF of the booklet, Embrace the Cross. Dr. Jim's here to tell you how to get it.
There you have it, men. Request your copy at menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. That's menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. Men Alive is a production of Go Teach Global. Visit our website at goteachglobal.com. Until next time, I'm Dr. Jim Cunningham along with Paul Estabrooks. Our goal is to be conformed into his image, Jesus Christ.